Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down. We're talking March Madness. Richie Schuler is going to step up and in a couple of minutes. We'll get Richie's thoughts. Of course, ESPN play-by-play voice, Pac-12 Network. So I haven't put any bets in yet, guys, but I would advise that it's time now. It's time now. I think the lines have sort of, you know, at some point, you know, I've already lost value on a couple of these, although the Oral Roberts line is an interesting one. Oral Roberts versus Ohio State. And we're getting 9.5 points with Oral Roberts in the first half of this game. 16.5 as far as the game is concerned. And as I stated, the numbers are fluctuating a bit. The money is starting to come in right now. So this is why I'm saying, if you know what I mean, you've got to make your own decision. Which way do you think the line is going to move for the games that you like? But for me, I don't really want to wait anymore. I'm going to start firing off, and I'm going to start putting picks in the overnight hours tonight. But looking at Oral Roberts against Ohio State, this Oral Roberts team is good. Defensively, are they good? No. Do they rebound well? No. Are they undersized? Yes. But offensively, these guys are lethal. And they're going to come out bombing. We've talked about Oral Roberts getting 16.5. This total keeps going up. It was 155 when it opened on Sunday night, up to 157.5 right now. And people are starting to catch on to this. We were hoping that Ohio State would be a trendy pick and it would get bet up to 17.5, 18 or so. It's not happening. It came down to 16, back up to 16.5 right now. But when we talk about offensive efficiency, the Gonzaga Bulldogs are the most offensive efficient team in college basketball. And it's funny because you hear about how defense wins, but this is the rankings for offensive efficiency. Number one, Gonzaga. Number two, Baylor. Number three, Colgate. Number four, Iowa. Number five, Houston. Number six, Drake. Number seven, Toledo. Number eight, Liberty. Number nine, Belmont. Number 10, Ohio State. So Ohio State are top 10 offensive efficiency. Yet Oral Roberts, lethal. A lethal offensive team. They shoot 40% from three, 82% of their free throws, and are one of the highest scoring first half teams in college basketball as well. More on the other side. Bring it.
Coming to you 24 hours a day,
7 days a week,
with the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's knowing how to play the game, and then there's knowing how the game is played.
We're the second part.
Some call it strategy, but we just call it the edge.
Come and get it.
Your trusted source for gaming, odds, and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
For you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
I will, but you won't.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Countdown to tip-off is on. People getting fired up. We've got the play-in games on Thursday. So normally, actually, we'd have the play-in games today, right? We would have had them tonight, but whatever. It's all good. It is what it is. So full slate of games on Friday. And I got to be honest with you. I've spent a lot of time, and I really have put quite a bit of work in. And I'm not going to call it work, actually. Just sort of, chilling out. Chilling out and reading a lot of college basketball stuff. But I'm sticking to my guns. Yet I'd be lying to you if I told you I know what time any game is at. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? As far as, like, I know Thursday's games, but I think Michigan plays Saturday afternoon at like 3 o'clock or something like that. I know that. But I want to go over that a little bit. But for us, it's more like, let's get our bets in, and then I'll worry about what time the damn game tips off at. All right, so we got Richie Schuler stepping up and in a couple of minutes, but we're going to squeeze a phone call in now, and it almost sounds like it's too good to be true. If this is true, I'm going to be in a very happy mood. If it's not true, I'm going to be let down. Let down, I'm going to be angry. Do we have Bob on the line? Is that you, Bob?
Yes, Gabe, it's me.
It's Bob me, from Gabe. Vermont. How you doing, Bob? I'm happy to hear you, Bob. I'm glad it's great. You. How you doing, Bob?
Where are you now? You in California or something?
You always, it's the first thing you always ask me, Bob, where I am. It doesn't matter if I lived across the street, yeah, Bob. You wouldn't come see me anyways. I waited years for you.
No, I will. If you go back to New York, I will come visit you. I promise.
All right. You know what?
But that's not gonna
we'll hook up opening. If once there's like full fans back at football games and everything, Bob, once everything is normal at the Meadowlands, I'll be back.
Me, you, and my brother. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still
how
waiting for that
doing?
Pizza. I'm doing all right, Bob.
I know. I will get you the pizza, I promise. Guess so, who
what's
I
the deal? You're up kind of late tonight, Bob. You're up kind of late, Bob,
yeah,
aren't you? This is late
today,
for you.
So I have the day off today.
Good. Who'd you talk to today?
Because I got to work the weekend. I got to work the weekend shift.
Who'd you talk to today? All right.
Who I talked to today was our friend, Carson.
Good stuff.
Remember
good
Carson?
Stuff. I was going to say.
Yeah, him
yeah,
and Evan.
No, I don't,
oh, my God.
I don't.
Me and my brother got to talk to him. Yeah.
I don't remember Carson.
Good.
No, I don't
he's
remember.
Good.
No, I don't remember him. Who is
yes,
he?
Yes, you do.
Bald guy. Who, the bald guy?
He's the guy. He's the guy. He was the guy who was on the other show. Carson
I know.
And friends.
How would
remember?
I, Bob, like, why would you think that I would not remember? Like, what, you think, you think I have amnesia? You think I have amnesia?
No.
No, listen, I like Greg Carden, but I would have been more impressed if you told me you would have talked to Michelle Serpico. That'd be more impressive.
Yeah, I wish I could talk to her. She's no longer there with us. But the other girl's still on with that guy in the morning. What's the other girl's name?
I don't know, Bob.
The blonde hair girl.
You're killing me,
that?
Bob.
The other girl.
Ariel Epstein.
Not the other girl. Maybe.
Ariel Epstein, Bob.
Yeah.
Ariel Epstein.
Yeah, Ariel's good. Do you think the Giants made
nice
a good
girl.
Deal for those two running backs?
I don't know. I want to see what the Giants do in the big picture, Bob. I
want
to see like the full complement of
Kelly
Galloway.
They need to get him.
Yeah, you know what?
They
word is they're talking
Galloway.
To him. Word is they're talking
to
him. I like the Leonard Williams
they
deal.
Signed those two idiots. Yeah, that was good. we lost Tomlinson though. That stunk.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
He's great. And then also
this.
What?
This year, look, they.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley always gets hurt, Bob. Right. So, no, am
right,
I in love
definitely.
With Booker? No, I don't know how much money he got. You know, John Ross
not
is always injured
much,
as well.
No.
So, no, to be honest with you, I can't lie to you and tell you I like what the Giants are doing. The Leonard Williams signing was good.
No,
but
I don't
the rest
either.
Of this is,
I know.
The rest of it's crap.
I thought they were on Kush. I thought they were on Kush. I told Carson this today. I said, they're on Kush. Yeah, that's what I think they are. And I'm going with my Syracuse Orangemen. But there's one
Syracuse
thing I'm
Orangemen,
happy Duke did not make it. Yeah.
You're happy Duke
did not
Duke
make
it?
Oh, thank God they did not make it. I can't stand that team. I can't stand. What's their coach's name, Mr. Schnaz? What's his name?
Krzyzewski.
Yeah, I can't.
Coach K.
Don't like him. Yeah, don't like him.
Coach K. So, Bob,
yeah,
you ready? You ready? You ready for some baseball,
yeah.
Bob? Yeah, you fired up?
Yes. The Carlton asked me that today too. He does his Mets for Yankees.
Tell Carlton the Blue Jays are going to be they're going to win that division. Tell Carlton and Bob.
Yeah, they're looking
the Blue
good.
Jays.
They got some good
Toronto
players.
Blue Jays.
There. You just picked up George Springer.
Yeah. Blue Jays are ready to bang.
Who answers the phone now for you? Who answers the phone for you?
That's Matthias in Los Angeles.
I missed the other guy. Yeah, that guy, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the other guy better from New York. what was his name from New York?
Yang.
You know the guy from New York? What was his name? Our friend.
Yes. Yang.
Yeah,
Yang.
That's I like him.
Luciano.
Yeah, Yang. Yeah,
Luciano.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
what did Matthias do to you? Matthias is a polite guy. Matthias is very polite.
Who's this? I said Bob Vermont like 50 times.
He's got a string of callers. He's doing his job. He's doing his job,
Bob. Yeah, though. I know.
You haven't.
Well, the guy
you haven't
me
called
on
in a long time.
Person, you know, I know.
You haven't called in a long time, Bob.
So I've got to keep. I'm going to keep it tech with you. I miss you. I miss talking to you.
I appreciate that, Bob. We miss you as well.
Doing. You see Lisa lately?
Who? Joe Lisi?
You know, Oklahoma. Sooner Lisa.
Oh, Sooner Lisa.
Lisa. Yeah.
She's in our chat. She's in our chat tonight. Yeah. We'll say hi.
Oh,
I don't know.
She
might be in bed now. Yeah. She's around.
Yeah, because she works early in the morning.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of Lisa. All right, Bob.
Okay, nice talking to you, but I'll keep in touch with you more often.
We got to go to a break. Yeah, don't be a stranger, Bob. We miss you, Bob. I'm glad you're well. It's Bob in Vermont. Throw Matthias under the bus. Who's like the other guy? Like Bob knows no one's name. What's her name? What's his name? Richie Schuler next.
Some artists work in clay, some in oils. We work in actionable insights and expert perspectives. But we just call it
the winning edge.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports
is everywhere,
every day, and so is the information about it.
We cut through all the clutter
and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. We're kicking it. The countdown to tip-off is on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's talk hoops right now with a man who kicks it Big West style. And the Big West has a dangerous team in this tournament. Richie Schuler, ESPN, Pac-12 Network, PhD Hoops joins us. Richie, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Happy March Madness.
Man, how you doing, Gabe? All is good. I hope you're great. It's the best time of year, is it not?
Yeah, I'm good, besides the fact that I'm sleeping like 2 hours a night. I'm dreaming about 12 seeds, 5 seeds. I'm arguing with people on Twitter about how many 1 seeds have won in the past. It's a great time of the year, Richie. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, man. Let's do it, baby. Let's do it.
All right, so listen. We've got millions of Americans are currently filling out the brackets right now, and everybody's looking for that upset. The 12-5 is often a popular topic of conversation, and let's talk about a 12-5 matchup between Santa Barbara and Creighton, and a Santa Barbara team that has won 18 of their last 19 basketball games. I know you've seen this team. You've done their games. Talk to me about this Gaucho basketball team.
Well, I'll tell you, it's intriguing. The 12-5 is always intriguing. I put a tweet out the other day that since 1985, when the NCAA tournament expanded to 64 teams, the 12 has beaten the 5 50 times. That's incredible. So, you know, history shows that UC Santa Barbara has a good shot against Creighton. And I know Creighton's dealing with some distractions. This might be a good time for UC Santa Barbara to swoop in and get the win. They have an NBA prospect in the 6'4 combo guard senior, Ja'Cory McLaughlin. He was a transfer from Oregon State. He can shoot from anywhere on the floor. He can handle it. He can get to the basket. He was the Big West Player of the Year. Certainly is their key to their team, but also a terrific athlete, tremendous leaping ability, and just a great decision maker. And I think he's a big part of the reason why UC Santa Barbara has become such more of an unselfish basketball team this year. I mean, he is really passing the ball well. He's that kind of guy, and when your best player does that, it seems that everybody kind of follows suit. But then they got a big fellow in the middle. I think he's slightly undersized if he's going to play in the middle, but he's more of like a four, Amadou Sow, who is, you know, he's a guy that they've been grooming for 3 years now. He's a junior, but he is a very efficient back-to-the-basket post player. He can catch outside the post and back you down. Little mid-range shot, posts hard down inside, just very efficient. I think he's almost 60% from the field. Now, both those guys were first teamers. They had a couple other guys. The point guard, I think, was second team or honorable mention, DeVril Ramsey. You know, go on down the list. But the one thing I do want to talk about with them is Ajari Sani was their sixth man off the bench, averaging about 11 points a game. Another guy that can shoot deep threes, pull up mid ranges, but he can run the floor and drive to the basket. He injured his ankle pretty good in that championship game towards the end of the first half. And I have not heard if he's going to be okay to play in the NCAA tournament. But if they have him and he's full strength, I think they're really, really dangerous. Without him, they are missing a very, very good scoring punch off the bench. So, you know, it kind of remains to be seen what happens there, in my opinion, as to whether or not you pick him to win your beat that number 5 seed, Creighton.
And you talk about Creighton, and obviously there was the situation in the locker room with the comments from Coach McDermott. Yet, I think that the team got over it. I think that they bonded, and I think Georgetown just mauled them. I think Georgetown just mauled them. You had Patrick Ewing back in the Garden, and the magic was real. I hope security knows who he is now, Richie, after this, because they should have known before this, right? They should have already known, but I hope you know now, brother. But you know, looking at Santa Barbara, and it's interesting you say NBA talent. People wouldn't really associate Santa Barbara with NBA talent. And Pasternak's done a great job, hasn't he, of getting transfers to come in. Miles Norris comes over from the Ducks as well. This isn't a typical Big West team.
No, it's not. He's gone the transfer route. Most of his players. Now, Amadou Sow, who I just mentioned, is homegrown. But, Josh Pierre-Louis is a player. He's a sophomore from Temple. And I saw him really light it up, especially in that quarterfinals game that I worked. And he did a great job just getting to the basket, making shots. You know, McLaughlin, we just talked about him, Oregon State. DeVril Ramsey, I just spoke about him. He was Nevada. I think you touched on Miles Norris was at Oregon before he went to junior college route for his sophomore year. I could go on down. I mean, Ajari Sani, their sixth man I just talked about, specific transfer. Played for Damon Stoudemire there. Brandon Cyrus played for DePaul. And then they got another guy off the bench, Destin Barnes, who played at Jacksonville. So, yeah, they have a lot of talent. And that seems to be the route nowadays. A lot of guys are going the transfer route, and that's certainly what they've done over there at UC Santa Barbara. It's worked for them. I tell you, they have really peaked. The team they beat in the conference championship game was UC Irvine, who has won the regular season 5 of the last 8 years in the Big West. Coach Russell Turner, an outstanding coach, has had opportunities to go elsewhere and has stayed. And, you know, he, his program, you know, the way they do it in the Big West with this pandemic, a lot of leagues are doing Thursday-Saturday matchups where they play at the same location. Well, the Big West decided Friday-Saturday matchups. So UC Santa Barbara played down at Irvine on a Friday, Saturday back in late December, and UC Irvine pummeled them one time by, I think, 18-19, and the other game it was like 4-5, and it was close. What's interesting about that is, you just mentioned, all these transfers, all this experience and this age that this Santa Barbara squad has, they were playing against the UC Irvine team, which is the second youngest team in the country. So everybody was thinking it would be the other way around. Santa Barbara would win those two games, and then if they played later in the season in the championship game, which ended up happening, that Irvine would come together and those young players would be seasoned, and it wasn't that. I mean, UC Santa Barbara was just too much, and they got their revenge for sure in that championship game, winning by double digits.
We're talking hoops with Richie Schuler on the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. So Georgetown beats Creighton. So let me ask you, I'll put you in the hot seat. When it's all said and done, does Santa Barbara move on? Are they going to pull the upset here? I think they are, actually. I think Creighton are very vulnerable.
I think you'd be very smart to pick them. I have my reservations just because I know how important Ajari Sani is to that team. He's a sophomore, yeah, six-man, best in the conference, and I don't know if he's going to play. And if he plays, I'm not sure he'll be at full strength. But am I rooting for Santa Barbara? Absolutely. I've covered him for 8 years. That program has been outstanding. Hey, you've talked about how they haven't had a whole lot of NBA players come out of there, but just in the last 5 years now, they've had Alan Williams, played a couple years in the league, and now Gabe Vincent's in the league. So they produced some NBA guys, and Ja'Cory McLaughlin might be that next guy, that next man up, who could potentially play the combo spot in the NBA. We'll see.
Another 12-5 matchup, the Georgetown Hoyas, who we just referenced, who beat Creighton. There seems to be two schools of thought with this basketball team. A lot of people that we talk to say, you know what, they went on the run and now it's over. They get smashed by Colorado. And others believe, you know what, this team is playing with house money right now, and they've got absolutely nothing to lose. I know, you know, Colorado is technically the better basketball team, but as you know, come tournament time, anything can happen. When you look at this matchup, what do you see?
Well, when I think about Georgetown, yeah, I think about a team who got hot there late. And, I mean, they're only one game over 500, and they were, you know, they were 7-9 in the Big East. But, you know, when I think of Georgetown, I think, you know, I remember looking at their stats, and they were, you know, barely beaten teams. It was like by 1 point a game overall. They were a good three-point shooting team in the, you know, mid to high 30 percentile. But, you know, where they really struggle, I think, is turnovers. They don't take great care of the basketball. And that's something that is really going to come down. I mean, Colorado does a really good job pressuring the basketball. May not be full court, but in half court, they can really pressure it. They've done a great job with their program there. They had a terrific run in the Pac-12. Can Georgetown take care of the basketball? That's the big problem. And when you're playing against a team that you haven't played all year, you know, you've been playing conference opponents most of the season, especially with the shortened year that we've had in this COVID era, you know, by the time they played everybody for a third time, they just kind of whipped through everybody in the conference tournament. But when you're playing against a brand new team, yes, you've scouted them, but you don't really know the ins and outs because you haven't played them ever. You know, I think that plays a difference. And I just don't know. I would think personally that Colorado is probably going to win that game. But Georgetown, what a great story, right? They just got to take better care of that basketball to have a good shot.
Richie Schuler with us. And as Richie alluded, the 12 seeds have won 50 times. So is it 50 and 90? And what's amazing, actually, if you dig a little bit deeper, 21 of those 50 teams, guys, went on to the Sweet 16 as well after. 21. Mm. 21 of them actually have gone on to the Sweet 16 after, and sort of what we've seen from a team that plays in a play-in game. I mean, didn't Shaka Smart become a multimillionaire by winning this play-in game and then winning games after? Didn't Mikey become really rich doing this?
Yes, it's amazing what 6-7 games can do for your life. And Shaka Smart took full advantage, man. Play that play-in game, they got all the way to the Final Four.
No, you're exactly right. So, speaking of play-in games, Speaking of playing games, we've got a great playing game, a Blue Blood Classic here. And I don't know, man, I don't know if we've ever had a playing game where both teams have won national championships, multiple national championships before, like we have with Michigan State and UCLA. I kind of got the feeling, Richie, that we were on a collision course for Duke in the playing games. Yeah. I was like, you know what? They're going to put Duke versus Michigan State or something like that. And it'll be like the highest, one of the biggest rated games ever type thing. But we end up with UCLA and Michigan State. But listen, we're up against it right now. So we'll take a quick break with Richie here. And I want to get his thoughts on a couple of more matchups before we get him out of here. And so we're getting really fired up. It's March Madness. We're breaking it down. Sirius XM, Channel 204. Late Night Anger Management Class continues.
Football, the goal line. Baseball, home plate. Basketball, the net. Sports talk, right here. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, ESPN's Richie Schuler with Richie. We got a Blue Blood Classic coming up in the play-in game. How cool is this? Michigan State versus UCLA.
I love it. I love it. And you know, being out here in the West Coast now, I pay much more attention to the West Coast teams. And it's amazing that UCLA is even in this position, because they were just in the driver's seat like 2 weeks ago when it came to, you know, potentially winning the Pac-12 regular season championship. And they really faltered down the stretch. They lost a lot of close games. And to the Pac-12's credit, I feel like the Pac-12 is continuing to sort of slowly get back to the way the Pac-12 was 5-10 years ago. I think it was not very good the last couple of years. And UCLA ran into some really good teams, Oregon and some others, that just got them, beat them down the stretch. So, you know, I see a UCLA team that is kind of struggling right now. I think they run good offense. I don't think they defend as well as what Mick Cronin is used to back in the Cincinnati days. And I think that I'm just not sure that I have confidence in them beating Michigan State. Michigan State, coming from the Midwest, tough, hard-nosed kids, roll-up-your-sleeve kind of mentality. And I certainly think that BYU is going to have a tough draw no matter who wins that game.
Yeah, you look at the Michigan State Spartans as well. You mentioned Tom Izzo and you know, his toughness, Michigan State's toughness. And I don't know, Richie, are you still allowed? Because I remember Michigan State used to practice in football pads. But I imagine that might get you fired nowadays. You're doing what? These kids are beating each other up? Like, I don't know if Michigan State still do that. But I brought this up earlier in the week, and tell me if I'm crazy or not, but UCLA, like, if this game was in Los Angeles or was on the West Coast, okay, maybe I'm looking at it differently, but I mean, come on, man. They're playing this game where Purdue plays. Michigan State play there every year. Familiar surroundings, familiar city, short road trip. You're playing in Big Ten country. Who's going to have more fans there, even in the limited fan situation? Seems like the deck is stacked against UCLA. Would you agree with that, that it's an advantage for Michigan State playing in a Big Ten arena?
100% agree. Not just the Big Ten arena, but just playing in the Big Ten period. Like, they've been tried and challenged all year long. What do they have, 9 teams in the NCAA tournament this year? I think it's a record. It's insane how good the Big Ten is this year. So, yeah, playing in a Big Ten arena somewhere that you play every year, and a lot of those players are used to that atmosphere. Now, it's going to look completely different. I'm sure they're going to decorate it. It's not going to look like the arena they're used to playing in. But, you know, they're going to probably be in the same locker room, you know, yeah, same field. Yeah. So 100%, I think Michigan State has a serious advantage here, and just, you know, instead of having to travel across the country, you're taking a few hour bus ride or a quick charter flight. 100% agree with you on that one.
Richie, we've been going over the ingredients in the formula that's needed to win a national championship. And essentially, you want to be a 3 seed or higher. That's the gist of it. 29 in the last 31. There's your formula. But digging down deeper, has your program been in a Final Four before? Do you have NBA talent? Are you a top 20 offensive and defensive team as far as the efficiency rates are concerned? And you know, you start to check off the marks, and Gonzaga check all the boxes. They just check all the boxes. They're the favorites according to the odds makers, and rightfully so. I like their path to the national championship game as well. Talk to me about your opinion of this edition of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, because I look at them and they seem to have it all.
They're incredible. This is the third time I think they've been a number one seed in the tournament. I was there sitting behind North Carolina's bench a few seats when they played in the national championship and lost by a handful of points. But I thought last year they were the best team in the land. I really did. They might have been a little bit better last year. It's up for debate. But they have not lost the game all year. They're 26-0. Now, that hasn't happened since the 1976 Indiana team when they went 32-0, and my college coach, Jim Cruz, was the captain of that team. But it is incredible that program has not lost a game in a year. Over a year. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's a lot of good nights of rest if you're the coaching staff. They have talent. I think Corey Kispert is probably going to win the Wooden Award, National Player of the Year, in my opinion. Was he like 19 a game, 5 boards, super efficient from the field, shooting well over 50%, and prime time three-point shooter, I think he's about 44-45% from behind the arc. Then you have Drew Timmy down inside, who's about the same stats, 19 a game, but I think he's about 7 boards. He's going to protect the basket a little bit. He's even more efficient from the field. And he can hit threes. And you got the guard, Jalen Suggs, who's like 4.5 assists a game. He gets a couple steals as well. He's electrifying. He can hit shots. And that's just, I get the emails every week from the West Coast Conference. And it must have been 10 times this season where the Gonzaga players won both Freshman of the Year and Freshman of the Week, Gonzaga player, Player of the Week, Gonzaga player, and they would just consistently just dominate. And the WCC is no slouch. It is a good, really good conference. So they're playing not against Big Ten conference talent, but they're playing against good talent every night. And it's just amazing how much talent and great coaching they have in that program.
Richie, before we get you out of here, I just want to throw a couple of other teams at you. I am a lifelong Michigan Wolverine fan, and I was very, very excited about this team coming into the tournament, but I had a bad feeling about the Big Ten Conference tournament. I really did. Deep down inside, I was like, oh, man. I almost hope they just lose the first game and get out of here, and let's just get to the big dance right now. And sure enough, Isaiah Livers is out. I mean, the guy's basketball IQ is so high. He has the ball in his hands late in big games, in close games. He's a great three-point shooter. I still think they're a dangerous team, but suddenly they're just kind of another team, aren't they? Like, talk to me about the Michigan Wolverines now without Isaiah Livers.
Yeah, I think that is a massive blow, obviously, because he does so much for their team. I'm right there with you. I mean, he's a guy he can rebound, score, he can get you some dimes, and he can shoots at all three levels, and he can do a lot. He's got great size, too. He's 6'7", like 230. I mean, he's a difference maker. You've got to have great talent to win. You won't necessarily win with great talent. This is an old John Wooden quote, but you still have to have great talent. He is that. I haven't heard. Is there any chance of him coming back yet?
I think they're holding up hope, like if they make the Final Four type thing, right?
Yep. That's kind of what I heard, too. So I just didn't know if that was still the deal. But you have to give a lot of credit to Juwan Howard. John Beilein was an outstanding coach, and he still is an outstanding coach, and I think we'll see him back on the sideline next year. But he did it differently, and Juwan Howard's come in and done it his way, and he's done a great job, and he's always been a respected coach. I know he had some time in the NBA as an assistant coach and things, but I really think Phil Martelli, the old St. Joseph's coach who had a lot of success, I think it's just a perfect combo. And I think I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but I wonder if Phil Martelli's kind of mentoring Juwan. And Juwan is killing it. I mean, what a great first couple of years as head coach in Michigan. Here they are, a number one seed with a chance to win a national championship. I hope Livers comes back. You never really feel good if you're an opponent
beating another team if they're not at full strength. You want the best, and to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I certainly hope he's back and healthy so that we can have these teams as strong as possible as we go deeper and deeper into this tournament.
Especially a player, Juwan Howard, who played in two national championship games. And as famous as the Fab Five were, they didn't win. And they didn't even win a Big Ten title. I think the emotional moment, man, that it could be if Juwan Howard could actually cut down the nets. But as much as it pains me, Richie, to do this, I filled out a bracket and I said I didn't hit submit yet. All right, I didn't hit submit yet. I'm not one of these psychos that does 82 brackets, bro. All right, so but I didn't hit submit yet. I've got Gonzaga and Illinois in the final. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're right on. As a matter of fact, I think that's what I picked too. You know, I did hit submit, but I think I can go back and change it. And I
exactly. Year, so
yeah. But I have those two teams. I believe I have those two teams in the final. And I think Gonzaga is going to take it all, man. You know, if you look at Gonzaga's stats, they're winning. Like, what are they winning by, like 15 points a game, 20 points a game? Look it up. It's remarkable how much they're winning games on average. And they've beaten some big schools, you know, early on in season. So you're not crazy. Illinois is good too, man. Illinois is really, really good. But they... when's the last time they've been there? You know, those players don't have that experience. I think Gonzaga guys do, and I think that makes a big difference when you get there again.
All right, so before we last question, Richie, we really appreciate your time as we're in conversation with Richie Schuler. As I stated, guys, if 29 of the last 31 teams that have won were three seed or higher, I hate the who's that sleeper shocker type story, except it's UConn. Like, that's the outlier. Like, every 10 years or so, UConn come out of nowhere and win. And I actually think they're a pretty dangerous team coming into the tournament this year, but I don't think they're going to win. But is there one team you want to leave on the table right now that 2 weeks we can go, man, Richie told us about these guys. Not win the title, but, you know, Elite Eight, deep run type thing. Is there a team that we haven't talked about that you like?
I would say Utah State. But I could also say San Diego State. I'm biased, right, because I cover the Mountain West. But, you know, if we just focus on, you know, Utah State, they have an incredible big man who is probably NBA bound, maybe a second rounder, but he's a 7-footer from Portugal. His name is Nemias Keita. And, I mean, he's a guy that's in 3 years, 2.5 years, broke the career blocks record. And if he's playing well and he has been averaging a double-double like the last 8 or 9 games, everything runs through him offensively, but then he's the anchor defensively as well. He's the air traffic controller on that team. And they compliment him because they have guys that can hit 3-point shots. They got guys that are, they got a guy that was on the Virginia National Championship team a couple of years ago. They have guys that can rebound. They got guys that can shoot. They're such a balanced squad that I'm really impressed with Utah State. Coach Craig Smith there in 3 years now. He's taken them to 3 NCAA tournaments. And, again, I'm biased, but don't forget about San Diego State, what Brian Dutcher's done there.
Love them.
You know, they lost Malachi Flynn to the Toronto Raptors last year. 2 years ago, they lost Jalen McDaniels to the Hornets. They've got talent. They're still rocking it with Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle. You know, they're totally based on defense and rebounding. I don't think that they're as good as they were last year, but they still came out of the Mountain West victorious and as the championship team. And I just feel like, you know, anything can happen. You know, if you can play lockdown defense, or if you're getting locked down, you can always rely on your ability to defend and rebound when the ball's not dropping. And that's what they do. They rarely get outscored, even when they're having a bad offensive game, because they are so good defensively. And that's what you kind of have to hang your hat on. And that's what Dutcher's done all these years. And you talk about Michigan. There's your Michigan connection there.
Love Steve Fisher. Love Steve Fisher. Yep. Love me some Steve Fisher. Yep. All right. Before we get you out of here, Richie, I'll throw my team at you. And I don't know how far they're going to go, but they're a lot of fun to watch. And Ohio State better be on alert, because Oral Roberts is going to come out bombing. And these guys hit nearly 40% of their threes. They hit 82% of their free throws. They don't turn the ball over. You know, like 15 per 100 possessions type stuff. Ohio State are a dangerous team. I get it. But Oral Roberts, I'm telling you, Richie, these guys can shoot lights out. I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, another thing you got to worry about with Ohio State, if you're a Buckeyes fan, is that they're not very big. As you get deeper, second and third weekend, you're going to be playing against some really big teams. So, But, man, Chris Holtmann, Ohio State's pretty good, man. I don't know much about Oral Roberts, I'm going to be honest with you, but I know Chris Holtmann is a heck of a basketball coach over there at Ohio State.
I just bring it up, Richie, so later in the week when you're like, oh, my God, Ohio State are only up by six, you're going to be like, that loudmouth I spoke to earlier in the week talked about this game.
that man needs some anger management, man.
Oh, I do. I do. Hey, Richie, thanks a lot, man. Love talking hoops with you. Keep up the great work. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, man.
Anytime you need me, I'm here. You as well, and enjoy the tournament.
Sports gaming insights and expert analysis on daily sporting events.
Information you can take to the bank.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We know things are nuts out there. You need something to depend on.
That's where we come in.
Coming to you 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
With the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else.
Depend on it.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class 3 minute warning. Are we there yet? Evidently we are. Unfortunately we are. Another super turbo speed 180 minutes full court press as the countdown to the tournament is on right now. And we're getting fired up for these games, the play-in games, of course, on Thursday, that big UCLA and Michigan State game. And this is a big matchup, man, between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. And thanks to Richie Schuler for joining us on the program. Great stuff with Richie talking about how good the Big Ten is. But the Big Ten hasn't won a title in 20 years. And, you know, the Michigan State Spartans are repping the Big Ten here. And listen, if this game was being played like on a true neutral court, then I can accept Michigan State losing this game. Yet this game is being played in Big Ten country. This game is being played in the home of the Purdue Boilermakers, who, of course, play in a Big Ten. All right, how long of a drive is it from East Lansing to Indianapolis? Sounds like a fun trip. Sounds like a fun 254 miles, approximately 4 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah, as if. I think you could do it a lot faster than that, depending on the roads. So, put it this way: how many fans do you think are flying from Los Angeles for this game, as opposed to how many Michigan State fans are all fired up that they're actually in this game and fans are allowed, and it's only 254 miles away, and it's in Big Ten country? You know, if Michigan State loses this game, they're a disgrace. Thanks to Richie Schuler for joining us. Andrew McKinnis, Steve Merrill. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.